In the days of Isaiah, the kingdom of Judah was facing very dangerous times because Assyria was coming from the north, and as they were coming closer and closer to Jerusalem, they didn't really know what to do. They were conquering kingdom after kingdom, and of course the northern kingdom of Israel has already been conquered, and so as they're coming closer to Jerusalem, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop this advance? Well, as they were thinking about that, different ones had different ideas. Some thought, well, we'll just go to the Assyrians and align with them and they'll protect us and they won't conquer us. Others were saying, well, let's go to Egypt. Egypt is powerful and surely they can fight against the Assyrians and keep us safe if we align ourselves with them. But Isaiah was sent by God to warn the people to do neither. Don't turn to Assyria and don't turn to Egypt. Because the key to their salvation was in the Lord, was not in men. And the Lord would provide what they needed. And what Isaiah reveals that they need in the book of Isaiah is stability. If we look in the passage in Isaiah chapter 33, if you want to open your Bibles to there, that's where we're going to begin as far as this lesson is concerned, to introduce the lesson at least, looking at the stability of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 33. They needed to find stability somehow. And it wasn't going to be in any kingdom on earth. It was only going to be through God. And so what is said in Isaiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 5, is that the Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. What is going to bring about stability? Is Assyria going to protect them and not go and conquer them? No, it's their idea that they want to conquer all the nations. So they couldn't depend on that. Is Egypt going to save them and protect them? No, there's no way that Egypt is going to be able to stand up with them and protect them. They're not going to be willing to anyway, and it's not going to do any good to turn to them. So where is that stability? Well, according to verse 6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The people are encouraged to place their complete trust and faith in the Lord. Of course, I read from the New King James Version. Other versions may use different words, but it speaks of wisdom and it speaks of knowledge. It says that's what is the stability of your times, which is in the Lord. We must have the fear of the Lord in that. Now, today we're certainly not facing an empire that's coming down on us and threatening to destroy us, wanting to run over us, wanting to take us over. We don't face that today. But we have to find stability in our world today because there's a lot of instability here. You can just think about all the unrest that's in the world. You know, that's very common now, unfortunately, to at least hear about it. Maybe it's been going on for a lot of years, but we hear about oftentimes when a school shooting comes, the news people jump on that and tell us about this school shooting and how many were shot and what all happened. Well, how can we find stability in a world where people are using guns to kill kids, when kids are using guns to kill kids? How can we find stability in that kind of world? How can we find stability when there's so much unrest throughout the world? And when we look at the Middle East, of course it's been like that for years as far as all the unrest over there, but it still exists today. And, you know, there's nations over there that want to come to great power and would love to destroy the United States. How can we find stability in that kind of times? What if Iraq or what if North Korea developed nuclear weapons? How are we going to find stability knowing that they could destroy us at any time? Of course, that's the broad scheme of things, but even bringing it closer to home, how do we find stability in all the things that goes on, all the troubles that goes on in our own lives, that run rampant in our lives? Sickness and disease and financial difficulties and whatever it is. How are we going to find stability in that kind of world where we're constantly looking over our shoulders hoping that we're not going to get sick or get a disease or that we're not going to have this trouble or that trouble? How can we find stability in that kind of the world? Well, the message of Isaiah is still relevant today. In troubled times, the Lord provides the stability of our times. And it doesn't matter what's going on around us, we find stability in Him. And so we're going to look at that today, the stability that we have in the Lord. We're going to first of all learn how this world has instability. We're going to look at that a little bit deeper, conclude that the Lord will give us stability, but then we're going to have to find out how we can receive that stability. What do we need to do to obtain it? How can we have it? So let's begin by looking at the instability of our world. And this is actually should not be something that is foreign to us, because Job made it perfectly clear in Job chapter 14 and verse 1. He said, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Now, has that changed any? That's not changed today, has it? We're born of woman. We live in this world. We are not going to live very long. And there's all kinds of trouble that can come upon us while we are living here and that we face throughout our lives. And, you know, some of these problems, some of these troubles are common in this day and age, the one that we're living in particular. Other kinds of problems have always existed. There's always been, generally, there's always been sicknesses, there's always been death, there's always been natural disasters. People have always had financial problems, there's always been work problems and family problems. We're not alone in that. Everybody throughout history has dealt with those kinds of issues. And while we can get specific in our day and age, maybe there's something that is more prevalent right now than there was before. Well, we can look back at something in biblical times that we don't have to deal with today, like leprosy. They had that instability in their world. We may have something different, a different kind of disease or a different kind of sickness today that they didn't have to deal with, or at least that we're not aware that they had to deal with. But regardless of what it is, whether it's specific in our age or whether it's something that's always existed, there's always going to be instability. And here's the problem with that. The problem is for some people it causes stress. Some people don't do very well with having issues and problems and struggles in their life. Some people become anxious and fearful when they have those kinds of things. They don't really know how to handle it. Some people become depressed and even cut ties from the outside world. They say, well, I'm just going to shut it all out, and I'm going to stay by myself, and I'm going to be away from it as much as I possibly can so that I don't have to be involved with all of the world, and I'm going to live a secluded life. There are people who go to that extreme. But people don't always handle it well, and even Christians can be affected. Christians may complain about the problems in their lives. They may complain about all the problems they have with sicknesses or with diseases, or they may complain about the problems that they have financially or otherwise. How are they going to be able to survive this? They may walk around with a disgusted look on their face, and it's hard to tell that they're a Christian because they don't look very happy about anything. They're just upset all of the time. And there's some who may live in fear. really fearing for their lives and wondering constantly what's going to happen. You know, what if a country develops a nuclear weapon and shoots it at our country and hits our state and blows up our region of the country? You know, worrying about that kind of thing. There are people who actually worry about that and who are down about it and upset constantly about it. And people are worried about, well, what if I get cancer? What's going to happen if I get cancer? No, my whole life is going to change. This is going to change. That's going to change. How am I going to deal with it? Or with this disease or that sickness or whatever it is. People worry about those things, and sometimes it can almost drive them crazy because they're so worried about what might happen. Whether it's going to happen or not is kind of irrelevant. But then you have others that it doesn't seem to bother. There's instability in their life, just like in everybody else's, and they don't seem to be bothered by it. Maybe the same thing that devastates one person, but they don't sweat it. There's a series of books. I remember my mother, when I was growing up, I was a kid, I used to worry about everything. I don't really know why. I didn't really have much control. I was a kid anyway. But I worry about school and my grades and, you know, to the point that that may not have been too healthy sometimes. She bought me a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. I don't know if anybody's seen that book or not. Now there's a whole series of them. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff and this. Don't Sweat the Small. But mine was just Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And she made me read that book. And that's what people have to do. They have to realize that there's things in this world that we can't control, things that are going to happen, and we don't need to sweat it. We don't need to let it depress us, get us down, bother us. And there's some people who are like that, where something happens to them or something could happen to them, and they don't really think about it. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't faze them. And these are people who have the same financial problems. Maybe they have the same disease, they have the same uncertainties of life, and yet they don't let it bother them. They don't sweat the small stuff. And they have great joy and stability in their life. Now, how is it that people can react so differently? How can people have the totally different reactions? How is it that two people can get cancer? One person, when they get it, say, oh, well, my life's basically over. I can't do anything anymore. I'm just going to lay here and suffer until I die. When someone else goes around with a smile on their face all the time and living their life to the fullest that they can, why those two different attitudes? Why the different reactions to the same problems? It's because some people can find a source of strength of which others are not aware or are not willing to look for. And this strength is the strength which comes from the Lord, which provides this stability. It is the trust that we must have in God. Well, when we go back to our passage, we're going to notice again ways that the Lord provides stability in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. And the first way that he says that the Lord provides stability is through wisdom and knowledge. It says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. So, through wisdom and knowledge. Now, what I want us to do at this point in the lesson, I want us to turn to the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. And we probably should read it more often because it really applies to us. And it's a lot of wisdom there that we can gain from that in order to get through this life of problems and struggles. And this chapter in particular, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 22, I want us to read that together and look at what the writer here tells us we should do, how wisdom and knowledge will help us deal with, as we can say, as the writer of Ecclesiastes would say, with life under the sun. Because we all have to live life under the sun. We've all been born of woman. We're all living here, dwelling here, facing this life, going through it day by day. So the writer of Proverbs tells us what we can do. In verse 6 of chapter 2, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things." Now let's stop right there. If we have wisdom and we have knowledge, what's it going to do? When we hear someone teaching something that is wrong and error, when those are trying to influence us, trying to lead us down the path of evil, trying to kind of make evil and good look the same, and so we're going to have to figure out what's right and what's wrong. Verse 11 says, discretion will preserve you. We're going to be able to recognize that. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is in us, then we're going to have the proper kind of discretion. And not only that, it says that as we have this knowledge, as we have this wisdom, He says, understanding will keep you. So it's going to help you press on to deliver you from the way of evil. Now, we have a lot of ways we can walk in this life. There's a lot of good things we can do. There's a lot of evil things you can do. But when we know what is right and wrong, we have a good understanding of what is right and wrong because of our wisdom and knowledge, then it says that we can be delivered from the way of evil. And then, not only that, but it says from the man who speaks perverse things. So as people are trying to influence us away from God, away from the truth, and there's false teachers everywhere, there's people who are going to try to drag us away, if we have the proper kind of knowledge and wisdom, then that will keep us from the man who speaks perverse things. Now as we continue, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So we won't be walking in the ways of darkness, we'll be staying on the paths of uprightness. Who rejoice in doing evil, these are the ones who are trying to influence us, they rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths. So again, they're pulling us, trying to get us away, but what? We have wisdom and we have knowledge, so we're not going to follow them. We're not going to go down that path. In verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman. So now it's going to talk about being seduced by someone. Maybe try to seduce you away from your partner. Maybe try to seduce you before you are married, whatever it may be, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So we have that influence trying to drag us away. But no, we have wisdom and knowledge. We know better than that. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So as we are in this world, the life under the sun, and we're going through life, we have all these struggles around us, all these temptations, all these physical problems, everything that is pressing in on us. When we have wisdom and knowledge of God, that's going to guide us and protect us as we dwell here. Well, not only that, when we come to chapter 3, it says that it's also going to comfort us. We look in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 26, And this is all going to come full circle as we continue in this. But chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Here it is again, talking about the wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Are we going to be afraid of we're going to get sick or get a disease? Is constantly worried about that? No, if we have the proper kind of wisdom and knowledge, it says we can lie down and not be afraid. Whatever comes, we'll be able to deal with, because we have wisdom and knowledge of God. And God will protect us and be with us through all that. The Lord, in verse 26, will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. That's the stability that we need. It's in the Lord. He will provide comfort and confidence in times of trouble. Now, in order to bring that full circle, as we said, we go to the New Testament, to James chapter 1. And remember what we are promised in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. James 1, beginning in verse 5, 5 through 6. This is what James tells us. If any of you lack wisdom, now remember the proverb writer said we have to have wisdom and knowledge. Well, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. How do we receive wisdom and knowledge? We ask of God for it, and God is willing to provide it for us. And He provides it certainly not miraculously, certainly not directly. Through His Word, we receive that wisdom. We look to Him, He guides us through His Word, and we learn how we are to actually deal with things in this life, how we live our life. It's all right here. It tells us how to do it. And God is certainly also providentially with us and helping us along the way also. So we need wisdom and knowledge to protect us as we dwell in this earth, to comfort us as we dwell in this earth, and we receive it when we ask Him for it. Well, back in our text, in Isaiah 33 again, there's something else that He says we must have in order to have the stability that is promised. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. So the strength of your salvation will also be the stability of your times. The New King James Version that says the strength of salvation then there. There may be other versions that, again, word it a little different, but it's the same idea. Through salvation. The salvation of the Lord is what is going to make us ready to face life and to face the reality of death. Knowing that, as we are saved, whatever happens in this life, nothing's going to take us away from God. Nobody's going to pull us away from God. Nobody's going to keep us from receiving that reward. Only we could do that. But if we know that the Lord will save us eternally, then we can better face this life that we live. Whatever is thrown at us, however difficult it may be. And a great example of this, as we talked about this morning, we talked about Paul and his faith and what he said to Timothy and how he had confidence that he had lived the life and that he would receive the reward. And he was having that hope in the Lord. He constantly had that hope, knowing that there was something better. A couple of passages which shows that, besides the one that we looked at this morning in the book of 2 Timothy, we're going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and notice what he says, what his confidence is in something better than this life. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed," he's talking about his human body, "if this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 5, "Now he has prepared us for this very thing is God." Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. His confidence is, his hope is, that no matter what happened to his physical body, that he has a home in the Lord. He has an eternal home, a spiritual home. That this tent will one day be destroyed. But he wasn't concerned about that because he knew that he would be able to live on. It was a guarantee. It was his confidence that he had in that. And then we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And here's the same kind of confidence that he expresses in a different way. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction," that's what he refers to as his life, "our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The Lord has prepared us for both life and death. And he was, as we saw this morning, he was ready. He was confident that he was ready to leave this life, to leave this earthly tent, knowing that there was something that was not seen that was far better and what he was reaching for. And so whatever happens here, whatever disease we might get, whatever struggles we might have, we have confidence knowing that something better awaits us. So what must we do in order to receive this stability? Well, we already looked at what James had to say, but when we go back to Isaiah, he tells us in Isaiah chapter 33, the latter part of verse 6, is that it's all about fearing the Lord. That's respecting the Lord. "The fear of the Lord is His treasure." So putting it all together, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. "The fear of the Lord is His treasure." And the New International Version says, "The fear of the Lord is the key to the treasure." I like the way that's worded. It's the key to this treasure. But the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, is what fear certainly means, is necessary in order to have wisdom and knowledge. So putting this all together, that's what's necessary to have wisdom and knowledge. A couple of passages, Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And then Proverbs 9 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It's one thing I like about Proverbs. That's one reason I like Proverbs so much, because it constantly talks about knowledge and wisdom throughout the book, and how important it is to have knowledge and wisdom, and how important it is to fear the Lord. But in order to fear the Lord, it starts with what? It starts with knowledge and wisdom. And once we have that, then we get on the right track. Salvation. We have the fear of the Lord. It's essential to receive salvation. It's necessary in order to be accepted by God. Acts chapter 10, the account where Peter is talking to Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10. In verses 34 through 35, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." There's the fear of the Lord that's necessary in order to receive what? To receive salvation. He's telling them what they must do in order to be saved. He says that you must fear Him in order to be accepted by Him. And then a little bit further over in Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. Acts 13 and verse 26. "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." We talked in our class about that. It's talking to the Jews and to the God-fearers who were Gentiles. But the idea is they already fear God, and to them the word of this salvation has been sent. To both Jew and Gentile, they had the opportunity to have this salvation. What must we do? We must fear the Lord in order to receive the wisdom and knowledge and to receive ultimately salvation. Why is this necessary? Well, we look also in the book of Proverbs. Fearing the Lord is necessary because it causes one, first of all, to depart from evil. If you truly fear and respect God, then you are going to turn away from evil and you're going to live for the Lord. There's a couple of verses in Proverbs in order to look at these two points. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. It says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." You respect God to the point that you leave evil. And then also, not only does it cause us to leave evil, to depart from evil, we have confidence also as we fear the Lord. Proverbs 14 and verse 26, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge." That's what we have to have. We have to have that confidence. We have to have the willingness to depart from the Lord. We learn that from the knowledge and the wisdom that we have. And it causes us to have stability rather than instability. And so the very last thing that we see in our text, as we look at in Isaiah chapter 33 again in verse 6, the fear of the Lord is His treasure, we're told. And as we have this confidence in the fear of the Lord, when we turn to God, the fear of the Lord becomes a source of blessings to us. This is the last proverb that I want us to notice, because it's the conclusion of it all. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 27. As we have the willingness to depart from evil, and we have the strong confidence in the Lord, Proverbs 14 and verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." That's what it leads to. It leads to life. You turn from evil. You have a reverence and respect from God, which causes you to turn from evil, which causes you to have a strong confidence in Him. Then you receive the fountain of life. That's how we receive life. And once we have life, spiritual life, again, whatever happens to us here under the sun, so be it. Let Satan take his best shot at us. Whatever illness we get, whatever disease we get, whatever problems we have, whatever comes upon us which tempts us to turn away from God, to leave our faith, to lose our faith, so be it. Because we have life. As long as we continue to fear Him, trust Him, we have life. And God will bring that stability for us that we can endure this life. You hate to say it that way, because this is our life. And it's short. It's not going to last very long. We We live here, we have friends here, we have family here, we enjoy this place, but we have things here that cause us to want to leave it too. And while we may not be ready right now to leave it, although some may be ready to leave it right now, whether we're ready now as far as thinking to ourselves, well, I just can't wait to get out of here, or whether we're like, get me out of here very quickly, whatever, wherever we are in that, we have confidence that this life is not all there is. We are pilgrims here. We're not going to be here long. And so we're not living just for this life. We're living for life eternal, which has been promised to those who fear the Lord. I want to have stability. I don't want to be unstable. I want to have the mindset that I can endure this, and I'm going to make the best of whatever situation I'm put in here, and I'm going to live for the everlasting. That's what all Christians need to do, where our mind should be, and I hope that we all certainly think that way. But if you haven't yet decided that you want to become a child of God, you're struggling in your life, you desire something better, but that you haven't done what's necessary to find something better, we give you that opportunity now. We want you to repent of your sins and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We want you to come to the Lord and make your life right with Him. If you're already a Christian, but you are eaten up with the things of this life, they've been struggling with it, you've been suffering in this world, and you want to find some stability, but you've turned away from God, you're not going to find it in this life. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It's only in Him. So we urge you to turn back to Him, to ask Him to forgive you, and to get back on the right track. Don't sweat the small stuff. Look to God and trust in Him. If we can help you to make your life right, we urge you to do what's necessary to be saved today while we stand and while we sing.